Good morning. Welcome to Senate Commerce. We remind you, if you're testifying before the committee today in any fashion, please make sure you've signed in on the podium in the back of the room. If you're a lobbyist and appearing before the committee, if you'd have your white or blue badge appropriately attired to your person, that would be helpful. Please silence all your electronic devices. We have as yet to deliver a fine. It's the last opportunity to do so, and Senator Greenfield has something really special for any violators today. And he's got Senator Helene in his sights, I believe. Even though we are somewhat short-staffed here this morning, I am going to ask the Secretary to call a roll.
Senator Hager.
Here.
Senator Bradford. Senator Lederman. Senator Sutton. Senator Nordstrom. Senator Greenfield.
Here.
Senator Curd.
Here.
Three present.
We need one more for a quorum. All right. So we'll stand at ease here for a minute, and we'll round up another senator shortly. All right, Senate Commerce does now have a quorum. We have minutes from our last meeting. I take a motion to approve. Moved by Senator Hagar, seconded by Senator Greenfield. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The minutes are approved. We have three bills on the calendar this morning. The first up is House Bill 1107, revise the definition of certain alcoholic beverages that are classified as cider. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Reed Holine. I'm the state senator from District 5, which is Watertown. I am here representing myself today. We will have further proponent testimony regarding this bill, but the main person behind bringing this bill and I have a bet with each other that I cannot give my proponent speech in less than nine words. So here it goes. On 1107, regarding cider, taxpayers like apples. Thank you.
Well, that was outstanding.
I don't know, 1107, that's...
Yeah, that's more than one word,
it's
I think.
One number.
Are there further proponents that would wish to testify with more than nine words regarding House Bill 1107?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Van Camp. I'm a registered lobbyist here today representing Miller Coors. That was outstanding. I will count in my mind 1107 as one word. This is the most complicated bill you'll have before you all session. The entire bill adds two words to the statutory definition of cider to include pears. There have been rumors of the Chiquita banana people showing up and opposing this, and my sponsor almost said peaches, but we cleared that up before we started. In 1998, this legislature decided to tax cider differently, but they defined it only as apple. In the last few years, Miller Coors has been marketing a pear product. I've asked, and there are no other products in development made from fruit that would be classified as cider. Why does this matter? In South Dakota, cider is taxed at 28 cents a gallon. If we make cider out of pears under current definition, it's taxed as low alcohol wine, and that's 93 cents a gallon. And as you can imagine, this is an issue that's being addressed all over the country as people start making different products. But right now, there is no other fruit that's in the pipeline, if that's the way to describe it. And so we're just asking that apples and pears be treated the same and that the tax is uniform. We've shared our case volume with the Department of Revenue. They will not oppose this today, I believe. I don't even know if Jason Evans is in the room, but they didn't oppose it on the other side. And it's a rather simple matter and a simple bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony to what we'll call the pear bill. 1107. Is there anyone that would wish to testify in opposition to House Bill 1107? Seeing no one rising, is there committee action on House Bill 1107 and or questions? Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass.
It's been moved to pass House Bill 1107 by Senator Lederman, seconded by Senator Hagar. Comments on your motion?
Well, I think the testimony is pretty cut and dry, like good pairs usually are, and I hope that we can send this to the floor with a unanimous vote.
Thank you. Further comments on Senator Lederman's motion to do pass House Bill 1107? Senator Sutton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this, to me, is a very slippery slope, and we have to be careful. But I will urge your support. But I'm just nervous about what will be coming next. But we'll see.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Greenfield.
I just want to place your mind at ease. We could establish a policy that if a pair thinks it's an apple, it can be taxed accordingly, too. So.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, it is. It's really, really stark. Are there any other relevant comments for House Bill 1107? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to Senator Lederman's motion do pass will vote nay. Anna, if you'd call the roll for us.
Senator Hagar.
Aye.
Senator Lederman.
Aye.
Senator Nordstrom.
Aye.
Senator Sutton.
Aye.
Senator Greenfield.
Aye.
Senator Bradford. Senator Curd.
Aye.
Six ayes.
Six ayes. House Bill 1107 does pass unanimously. Senator Sutton has moved consent, seconded by Senator Greenfield. All in favor? Aye. Anyone opposed? House Bill 1107 will be placed on the consent calendar. Thank you for your nine-word testimony, Senator Holeen. Next bill for consideration by Senate Commerce this morning, House Bill 1209, revised certain provisions relating to changes in terms of credit card agreements. Are there individuals that would wish to testify as a proponent for House Bill 1209?
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. With your indulgence, my name is Curt Everson. I'm the president and also a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Bankers Association. I thought Senator Rave was going to be here to pitch this bill. Obviously, he's been there. He is right now. I will defer to Senator Rave.
Thank you for that titillating testimony, Mr. Everson. Are there any other proponents that would actually like to testify on House Bill 1209?
Mine will be more titillating.
Senator Rave, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commerce Committee. Tim Rave, State Senator, District 25. I bring before you House Bill 1209 on behalf of the members of the South Dakota Bankers Association that are in the credit card business. The bill deals with the process that card-issuing banks must follow if they need to change any of the base financial terms of their agreement with cardholders, such as the rate of interest or any fees. The laws and rules governing those kinds of changes are pretty technical. I am not going to get into the details. I will save that for the gentleman that just ran away from the mic.
He's done.
He's done already? Great. House Bill 1209 is here because we need to resync South Dakota law with federal banking regulations that were rewritten after Congress passed Dodd-Frank and the Consumer Financial Protection Act in 2010. Lastly, I want the committee members to understand that cardholder rights and consumer protections under House Bill 1209 will be maintained in a manner totally consistent with the standards set forth by the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. A representative from the South Dakota Bankers Association is here to explain House Bill 1209 in more detail. I would respectfully ask for your favorable consideration of House Bill 1209, and I'll have Mr. Everson stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1209. It's good to see you back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Curt Everson, South Dakota Bankers Association. Appreciate the committee's time hearing 1209 this morning. Over the years, Congress has changed the rules of the road regarding how credit card issuers interact with their customers when it comes to how and when they can change certain terms of the cardholder agreement. Back in 2009, major piece of legislation passed Congress. It was called the CARD Act. That's one example. A more recent example is, as Senator Rave alluded to, the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010. One of that act's primary features was the creation of a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Prior to Dodd-Frank, each of the federal banking regulators, the FDIC, the Comptroller of the Currency, and the Federal Reserve, they all wrote their own versions of Regulation Z, which is the regulation that interprets and applies all federal truth and lending laws. So in the post-Dodd-Frank era, which we're in now, the CFPB basically rules the road. Card issuers are required to follow all of the provisions of Reg Z as interpreted by the CFPB, and Dodd-Frank made it very clear that any provision in state law that was in conflict would be superseded by the federal regulation. So there are a handful of situations where a change in terms of the credit card agreement requires a 45-day advance notice under Reg Z. In fact, if you talk to issuers, typically they give more than 45 days notice because they usually use a couple billing cycles, which are usually 28 days in length. So you're going to, if a change in terms is going to be proposed, the consumer's typically going to get probably between 55 and 60 days to notice before that would take place and make decisions accordingly. There are some situations, however, where a regulation does not require an advance notice and a right of rejection, and it's our desire to change the South Dakota law to ensure that the requirements, our requirements and statute are properly aligned with Regulation Z. So the purpose behind 1209 is to align South Dakota's law with Reg Z requirements that all card issuers are following anyway. How we're doing that in this bill is we're proposing to repeal two sections of existing law that you see as Section 1 and 2 of the bill, and then to replace those statutes with one new section which points issuers to 12 CFR 1026, which is the CFPB's version of Reg Z. So that's what is in the bill. I will close, I guess, by reiterating what Senator Rave said, and that is that in no way are cardholder rights being in any way diminished in what we're doing in 1209. And so I would respectfully ask the committee's favorable consideration. Would happily stand by for questions at the appropriate time.
Thank you. Any further proponents for House Bill 1209? If there aren't any, are there any opponent testifiers for House Bill 1209? Seeing none, I see no need for a rebuttal. Are there questions of Mr. Everson for House Bill 1209 by members of the committee? Seeing none, anyone wish to take action on House Bill 1209? Senator Lederman.
I move do pass House Bill 1209.
Okay. Senator Lederman has moved do pass for House Bill 1209, seconded by Senator Hagar. Comments on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It looks like the banking industry is just keeping up with the different regulations, and I appreciate the work by Mr. Everson, and I hope we can send this to the floor with a due pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments on the due pass motion for House Bill 1209? Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay. Anna, if you'd please call the roll.
Senator Sutton.
Aye.
Senator Lederman.
Aye.
Senator Norstrup. Excused. Senator Bradford. Excused. Senator Hager.
Aye.
Senator Greenfield.
Aye.
Senator Curd.
Aye.
Five ayes.
There are five ayes for House Bill 1209. It passes unanimously. Any further action for House Bill 1209? Senator Lederman has moved consent for House Bill 1209, seconded by Senator Hagar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? House Bill 1209 will be placed on the consent calendar. Thank you, Mr. Everson.
Thank you very much.
Next item. The next item on the committee agenda for this morning is House Bill 1235, Update the Valuation Manual Related to the Valuation of Assets, Liabilities, and Reserves. Proponent testimony for House Bill 1235. Good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Senator Corey Brown. I represent District 23. I'm here this morning to introduce House Bill 1235. Essentially, this is a concept that's been applied to other types of insurance in the past, whether it was property casualty or health care, but it deals with how you project your reserves and the dollars that these insurers will need to have into the future to be able to cover any potential losses. What 1235 seeks to do is to apply those same principles to life insurance, essentially. This is based on model legislation that's come out of the national organizations that help provide the way that insurance goes forward. With that, there are a lot of details that probably need to be covered, and I'll let some of the other proponents cover those, but I would ask for your support on 1235.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony for House Bill 1235.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Justin Smith. I'm an attorney from Sioux Falls, and I am the registered lobbyist for the American Council of Life Insurers, that is the trade association for the life insurance industry. This is the concept of principle-based reserves in House Bill 1235, PBR, and I am, it warms my heart to know that on the same day you're considering Parasite or you're considering PBR. ACLI represents is the National Trade Association for the life insurance industry nationwide. 90% of life insurance in force in America is made up of ACLI members, and we have 474 member companies nationwide. ACLI strongly supports House Bill 1235. We'd like to thank Senator Cory Brown for helping us bring it on the Senate and Representative Mark Willardson for helping us bring it on the House side. This would adopt the NAIC model for principle-based reserve. The NAIC is the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, made up of regulators from all 50 states and the divisions of insurance in each of those states, including our own South Dakota. HB 1235 is 100% NAIC model language. That model was thoroughly vetted and settled by the NAIC. Insurance regulators from all 50 states were involved in that process, which took 10 years to develop, of careful analysis and study. The importance of the NAIC models is that our Division of Insurance, as I believe one of the members of that Division of Insurance will testify in a few minutes, needs to be accredited nationwide so that the policies and procedures that come to South Dakota, the policies that come to South Dakota will be accepted nationally. ACLI worked with the South Dakota Division of Insurance in 2014 on PBR. The bill was crafted by ACLI based on the NAIC model. The draft was reviewed by our Division of Insurance, and we were in contact with them and appreciate their support and their help in making this change. The bill you see before you has been thoroughly vetted in South Dakota. No opponents are expected here today. The PBR model legislation has never been opposed in any states. It has been passed so far in 20 states, and it is expected to pass in another 25. It has never been opposed anywhere. The PBR model is not new to the insurance industry, as Senator Brown testified. Several other lines of insurance, property and casualty among the rest, have already used this, and other countries have the PBR model for life insurance currently. For example, Australia, Canada, and the United Kingdom. What are reserves generally? I think that's an important question to answer here this morning before you vote on the bill. Life insurers set aside capital to ensure that they can pay all expected future claims that may occur during a given year or period of time. The remainder of the company's capital is then used for investment or other options. State insurance regulators closely monitor insurer reserve levels. Those regulators take action if a company's reserve levels are too low so that they jeopardize the interests of policyholders. Insurers must submit reserve information to regulators in South Dakota every year, and insurers also submit detailed financial information about their companies and the stability of those companies. Now, currently, how are reserves set by these companies? The system that is used has been in place since the Civil War. It uses a very formulaic, one-size-fits-all approach with no flexibility. It's very outdated and not in tune with new product designs in the industry. Generally, the current system results in problems that actually hurt consumers. It often results in over-reserving or under-reserving. Under-reserving is a problem, obviously, because it does not keep enough money on hand to potentially pay claims. Over-reserving keeps unnecessary extra funds on hand, resulting in higher prices for consumers on premiums. The antiquated current system uses formulae that cannot adjust to more sophisticated life insurance products. Now, what is the concept you see before you, principle-based reserving? The new method is based on actual experience for factors like mortality, policyholder behavior, and expenses. Formulae will still be used to calculate and set the reserves. The formulae are simply tailored to specific and modern insurance products. Life insurers would compare calculation of reserves under the formula with PBR reserves and hold the higher of the two reserve levels for the protection of consumers. The domestic regulator, the South Dakota Division of Insurance, will continue to govern the entire process, and actually the bill gives them more oversight and authority to protect South Dakota's consumers. Insurer financial exams will happen every 3 to 5 years. PBR requires life insurers to develop a PBR report annually. The annual report explains to the Division of Insurance how the carrier calculated the reserves. The Division of Insurance may challenge the insurer's reserve calculations every year and order a change in the reserves if necessary. And, more importantly, the Division may actually hire a consultant at the insurer's expense to calculate the PBR reserves and evaluate whether they're sufficient. In a nutshell, the PBR calculation method is a modernization of an outdated system. And the same method's been in use by other lines of insurance for years. How does PBR protect South Dakota consumers? It actually, as I said, provides much greater protection. I've already discussed the problems with under-reserving and over-reserving, and I've already discussed the substantial oversight that will now be exercised by the Division of Insurance over this process. PBR, however, also retains elements of the old current system by providing floors on minimum reserve levels below which an insurer may not fall. The system is also self-correcting because the company must demonstrate annually to the Division of Insurance that its reserve assumptions are correct. If the assumptions are incorrect, the insurer may identify concerns and take appropriate corrective action more timely. PBR is consistent with solvency methods and modernization efforts nationwide and worldwide. The new method will benefit consumers by aligning the price of a life insurance product with the associated risk of that product and protecting the solvency of the insurer. Now, one of the first questions I got from a lot of people is why the bill is 31 pages long. HB 1235 came out of LRC with a number of changes to the form and style revisions to existing statutes that are not being changed by the PBR model. For example, you'll notice that some of the sections simply delete the term National Association of Insurance Commissioners and replace it instead with the acronym NAIC, thereby streamlining our South Dakota code. We are changing an outdated method that has been in place for over 100 years. Companies need to see that the PBR method spelled out clearly, and regulators need their authority clearly delineated in the statutes. And consumers need to be able to understand how this process would work, and all that does take, unfortunately, a little more page length than some other bills you might see. Again, PBR is supported by the NAIC, the American Academy of Actuaries, and ACLI. It is 100% model language in HB 1235. You will hear in a moment from at least one other proponent. I will stand by for questions, and we'd ask you to please favorably consider HB 1235, which modernizes reserve calculation methods and provides stronger protection to South Dakota consumers. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1235.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Larry Dieter, Director of the South Dakota Division of Insurance. As Mr. Smith indicated, the division has worked with ACLI and appreciate them bringing this bill forward. The division sees this as a modernization tool for the division. It, as he indicated, it's important to accreditation for us, and accreditation is important to the South Dakota Division of Insurance as it allows us to, as he stated, do different things nationally. It's important to us. I'd ask for your support of House Bill 1235. That concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1235. Are there any opponent testifiers for House Bill 1235? Seeing none, are there committee questions for House Bill 1235? Seeing no questions, committee action for House Bill 1235.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lederman.
Mr. Chair, I move do pass House Bill 1235.
It's been moved by Senator Lederman that House Bill 1235 be passed, do pass motion, seconded by Senator Sutton. Comments on your motion, Senator Lederman?
I think that the proponent testimony gave a full explanation, and I appreciate the work by Justin Smith and Mr. Dieter for coming over and explaining the bill to us, and I hope we can send this to the floor with the do pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments on Senator Lederman's do pass motion for House Bill 1235? Seeing none, those in favor of the do pass motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Anna, if you'd call the roll for us.
Senator Sutton.
Aye.
Northrup. Excused. Lederman.
Aye.
Hager.
Aye.
Bradford. Excused. Greenfield.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Five ayes.
There are five ayes. House Bill 1235 has passed by unanimous vote. Consent. Senator Hager has moved consent, seconded by Senator Lederman. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. House Bill 1235 will be placed on the consent calendar. That's it for the committee agenda. I don't anticipate any more work for the Senate Commerce Committee this session, although that possibility always exists. I'd like to thank Amanda and Anna for their expert help during the session thus far, and we really appreciate you being here every day and helping us out through the committee's work. Is there any other business,
Mr. Chair,
that rises? Yes, Senator Lederman.
I just want to take the opportunity to thank you for all your work. I know we had your side, I don't want to say sidekick, but your wingman was winged with an injury, and there were a lot of times during this session where we were just squeezing to try and get the members here and get a quorum, and I think you did a great job, and I really appreciate your professional decorum and ability to get us through our bill load without any issues. So with that, I appreciate your work, and I think I speak for everybody on the committee when we say you've done a good job, and we appreciate that work.
Thank you. For Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Interestingly enough, the week before I broke my arm, the chair was gone and I had to fill in his stead. It may have been that from all the heavy lifting that I had to do, I weakened my bone. But in all seriousness, I would also like to thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been on Commerce for the last 7 years, and Commerce is the committee that seems to get as many bills as any other, if not more. Right up there, probably even in excess of the bill load that State Affairs sees. And to get through the workload in the efficient fashion that we have is a tribute to you and also to our LRC staffers. And I want to thank Amanda and Anna. You have been absolutely wonderful. Once again, you know, in the case of Amanda and Anna, we are going to miss you next year as you're... It's funny, yesterday, for those who don't know, Anna is going to be going to Japan to teach conversational English. And I said, had we known that she was adept in teaching conversational English, we could have put her to use here, teaching politicians how to teach conversational English. But I do appreciate all of your efforts, and I want to thank you.
Thank you. Further comments by the committee? Any other business that rises for the best interest for the Committee on Commerce? Seeing none, entertain a motion to adjourn. Move to adjourn by Senator Greenfield, second by Senator Lederman. All in favor?
Aye.
Commerce adjourned. Thank you all.